Luke chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." I'm going to consider the idea for a moment of counting the cost. We see in this particular passage that someone is about to build a building. In this illustration that Jesus uses, someone is going to build a building, and how many buildings do you see out there are half finished? Here in this country, you don't see that too often. Most of the time, you see you have a contractor and you have it built within a certain amount of time, and it's all taken care of. You can't have half finished buildings lying around for too long, especially in town. My dad, on the other hand, we lived out in the middle of the country, and we when I was a kid, he was building a house. We were living on a trailer on that particular lot, and as he was building this house, he did it a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. He didn't want to go into debt to pay for anything, so he did a little bit here and a little bit there. So you might have thought it was half finished, but it eventually got finished. It got done. It took a minute. He had a goal. He had a vision in sight for what he wanted. He had this particular house that he wanted built, and he worked at it and he made us, my brother and me, work at it too. It was fun sometimes until I hit my head on some cinder blocks at some point, but that was all right. My point is, we have our goal in mind, and we talked about this last week quite a bit. And I listened to Sam's lesson, and he talked about it as well. And I certainly appreciate it, because it is an important goal for us to have, to get to heaven. That should be our long-term goal. What are our short-term goals to get there? Everyone has the long goal, at least I pray that we do, has a long-term goal of going to heaven when we leave this earth. But a long-term goal requires short-term goals in order to meet that long-term goal. And here's what I mean. We all want to get to heaven. And one of the things we have to do is, if we have children, we have to raise up our children in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it, right? We look at Proverbs 22:6 and other passages like that. What is our goal for raising our children? I am the only one at the moment, I believe, that has little kids in the house. So I'll go ahead and say one of the goals that we have. Our goal that our children will be Christians one day, that they will grow up and that they will be faithful. So what are we doing in order to see that play out? Well, one thing that we're doing is we're having a daily Bible time, a daily time where we get together and we look at the Bible and we do that. We talk about scriptural things. We have memory verses. We are intentionally trying to have our children know about God's Word, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but every day. So that is our short-term goal in order to get our children to be saved, and their long-term goal. And that affects our salvation too. If we neglect teaching them, then we're neglecting a command of God, aren't we? We're neglecting a command of God to teach our children the truth, to teach our children to be Christians, and to make that choice easy for them. Let me tell you another plan, another short-term goal that you might think is a little mundane, a little banal. We have a short-term goal of a meal plan. Now you might think, now how on earth does that affect our salvation? Victoria and I am... this was a little bit after we got married. It's been, I don't remember how long, but at some point she started doing a meal plan. You see on the refrigerator, there is a plan for the meals that we have every week. How does that affect our salvation? What does that have to do? Well, the reason why I think she started this is because I got a little upset that we had food going bad in the fridge all the time. And if there is a bit of chicken in the fridge that isn't used, it goes bad. If there are vegetables, now the vegetables are a little less concerned about, but if there's vegetables in the fridge and they go bad, then you've essentially wasted that money in order to, you've wasted that money. And so having that meal plan ensures that everything that is bought is used. Now, again, how does that affect our salvation? Well, we spend money on that food, right? And we're told to be good stewards with our money, with our finances, with our time, because it takes time to earn that money, right? And we have these commands in order to help us meet the commands, the requirements that God has given us in order to get to heaven one day. I'm not saying we all need a meal plan. You might be able to be good stewards of your money without needing that. And that is a good thing. It is just one way in which we've decided. I don't think we've even talked about this or thought about this in this light. But that is one thing that we do to help use our money in a more effective manner. And our money is something that God has commands for us to use, to be good stewards on that, and to provide for our family, and to use our money in the best possible way, and to help the church, of course. So, even the little things that you might think are mundane or everyday kind of things are things that can affect our salvation. These short-term goals ultimately lead to our long-term goal. And so, as we close, let our long-term goal be, let us go to heaven one day, that we go to heaven one day. Our short-term goals are set out by Scripture in the sense that we've got to obey the gospel. And that's one of the things that Sam talked about as well, that we obey the gospel, the three commands. I like that. the commands that we do and the things that we're told to do in order to obey Christ. Those should be our short-term goals. The question is, what is our plan to get there? How do we intentionally grow? One of the passages that we also see, the last verse in 2 Peter tells us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What plan do we have to grow in grace? What plan do we have to grow in knowledge? Let us think about that. In the coming weeks, I plan to look at the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. And we're going to look at that. We looked at Ephesus last week. We're going to look at the other six. And we're going to see what their goals, what Jesus directly told them their short-term goals needed to be, and how we might be able, if we were in their position, how we might be able to meet those goals if we were that particular church. So as we depart here today, I don't want to leave without offering the invitation. Because that is the start of meeting our long-term goal of getting to heaven. The start is becoming a Christian. And, you know, I think everyone who's accountable has been baptized here today. But I do want to make that known to everybody, that that is the start of our walk. And every day, if we're a Christian, let us continue in repentance, continue in love, continue in the faith. As we talked about this morning, let us pray as well. Pray for ourselves, pray for the church, and pray for everything that God wants us to pray for. If you have a need, please, let make that known to us this evening. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.